This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 441, down 2. September corn, 435 and 3 quarters, down 1. December corn, 440, down 3 quarters. July soybeans, 1415 and 3 quarters, up 2 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1361 and 3 quarters, up 4. September soybeans, 1265 and a half, up 4 and 3 quarters. July wheat, 575 and a half, up 4 and a half. September wheat, 584 and a quarter, up 3 and a half. December wheat, 606, up 3 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Wednesday afternoon. With the USDA grain stocks and acreage report on Monday, grains are going to be trading in a narrow range as we wait for the report. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 7 cents lower at 424 to 446. Soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents higher at 1394 to 1422. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 422 to 445, and soybeans were 3 cents higher at 1411 to 1436. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 cents lower at 434 to 456. Soybean bids were 2 cents higher at 1404 to 1432, and wheat bids were 8 to 10 cents higher at 541 to 565. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash Soybean Bids, they were 4 cents higher at 1437 to 1472, with the basis unchanged at 75 to 110 over the August. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 466.70 to 491.70 per ton. That's $3.30 higher, with the basis unchanged at 15 to 40 over the July. Illinois Corn Processors Cash Corn Bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 443 to 456, with the basis unchanged to 1 higher at 2 to 15 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 2 to 4 cents at 448 to 453, with the basis unchanged to 2 lower at 7 to 12 over the July. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents higher at 1423 to 1430, with the basis unchanged to 2 lower at 7 to 14 over the July. Wheat prices were 3 to 5 cents higher at 557 to 571, with the basis unchanged to 2 lower at 5 to 19 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at 472 to 476. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 cents with quotations of 1446 to 1447. Soft wheat closed mostly 5 cents higher at 596 to 601, and Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 454 to 466. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern part of the state, northern and western part of the state, corn was 402 to 415. Soybeans were 1189 to 1215. In the central part of the state, corn was 407 to 420, and soybeans 1197 to 1209. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 406 to 422, and soybeans were $12 to 1220, and wheat was 541 to 565. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 151.95, up 80 cents. August live cattle, 150.65, up 92 cents. October live cattle, 153.67, up 90 cents. August feeder cattle, $212.12, up $1.50. September feeder cattle, $213.90, up $1.70. October feeder cattle, $214.07, up $1.72. July lean hogs, $129.30, down $1.12. August lean hogs, $128.65, down $2.42. October lean hogs, $110.20, down $1.57. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 25th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded at $1.42 lower in the range of $116 to $129, with the weighted average carcass price of $124.55. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 66 to 70, 4 to 5 weights 69 to 76, 5 to 6 weights 75 to 79, and 6 weights and up 77 to 80. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in price from $85 up to $91. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 13,935 head, and from the Fairview Sale Barn Auction Report for June the 24th, they had receipts of 286 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers are $148.50 to $154, select and choice $145.75 to $148.50, select steers were $140 to $147.75. Choice slaughter heifers, $147.25 to $154.25. Slaughter heifers, select and choice, $146 to $148.75. And select heifers, $138.25 to $145.50. On to the slaughter cows, they had some premiums, bringing $110.75 to $117, with the high dressing bringing $120 to $142. Breakers were $100 to $107. With the high dressing $108 to $127. Boners were $96 to $99.75, and leans were $80 to $87. Now on to the slaughter bulls. Those weighing under 1,600 pounds, average dressing $108, $115, $25. High dressing were $116 to $122. 1,600-pound bulls and up, average dressing $118, $50. And high dressing $125.75 to $129.25. Now on to United Producers Auction at Shelbyville. They had receipts of 398 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were $148 to $155. Select and choice $137.75 to $147. Select steers were $137 to $139.50. And choice slaughter Holstein steers, $139.50 to $149.75. Choice slaughter heifers, $147 to $153.75. Select and choice heifers, $142 to $146. And select heifers, $132 to $140.50. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $152 and on a dress basis, $236. There was no heifer market reported. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 325 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $133.67, and that was $2.14 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $244.52. That was 86 cents higher, with select carcasses at $238.17, that was 17 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, that compared to 116,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 395,000, that compared to 370,000 last week and 410,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.53. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.52. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.44. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.43. June and July beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.14. June and July beans delivered to Scottville, $14.03. June wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.55. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.53. Corn at Scottville is $4.44. Beans at Greenfield are $14.14. Beans at Scottville are $14.03. And wheat at Scottville is $5.55. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Thank you, Angela. Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois. And before we let you go, congratulations. You've been here a year already?
Oh, yes. It's officially been an entire year. I don't know. It's gone by fast.
Has it ever? Get used to it.
Well, you know what they say. Time flies when you're having fun.
It certainly does. It certainly does.
It's been a great year, that's for sure.
Any highlights that you can come up with off the top of your head?
Oh my goodness, I'm not sure if I can do that on the spot. All I can say is I remember doing county fairs right when I first started and just being so overwhelmed, first of all, by going out to all these places that I'd never even heard of before since I'm from up north. And now I just like, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is and head on my way. I recognize a lot more people out there now.
You know, that's what I enjoyed about it, the year the people I met.
Oh, the people have been amazing.
That's what I enjoy. Well, you know, about this job here, and when I was doing the farm show, when I was doing the news, now driving a truck, the people you meet.
Oh,
that's
yes.
What I get a kick out of.
That's true. I've met some characters, that's for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. And you're not done meeting characters either.
I hope not.
No, that's true.
That's the best part of the job.
That's exactly right. Angela, thanks again.
Thank you, Randy. For some insights into this week's livestock market, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, USDA released its cold storage report, which traders are interested in seeing how we're doing overall in supply versus demand at these high price levels. And generally, the data in the cold storage report was supportive, showing that beef supplies in the freezer are down 5.8% from the previous month and down 21.5% from the previous year. Pork supplies down 1.5% from the previous month, down 12.7% from the previous year at this point. So basically what it says is that the supplies of beef and pork are not sufficient to meet demand, and so we're having to pull from the reserves that are in the freezer. That's been going on in the beef for quite some time. For a while, high carcass weights were able to actually build record levels of pork in the freezer, but now declining numbers of slaughter-ready hogs are exceeding what we're benefiting from the high carcass weights, and we're now a net drawing down those supplies of pork in the freezer. The expectation of the trade is that we're going to see a significant hole in supplies as we get into the month of July, which will further deplete those freezer supplies of pork. We'll get more insight from USDA on Friday on that in its quarterly hogs and pigs report.
So for now, are these freezer supplies helping to ward off some really nasty price spikes in the grocery stores?
Well, actually, unfortunately, it's probably the other way around. The tightness of the supplies in the freezer previously on the pork side, we're helping keep retail supplies down, but now as we're starting to draw down on those supplies, retailers are starting to realize they're going to have to start passing on more of those prices to the consumer. And the question that I have, and that many in the industry have, is with gasoline prices going up, will there be enough disposable income to pay higher prices for steaks and pork chops? On the beef side, we're already seeing the consumer go down the quality ladder now, grilling more hamburgers this summer and fewer steaks.
Well, hopefully we can see a bounce back in the livestock market soon here, although that may not happen for quite a while as the pig industry continues to battle PEDV, and it is a bit slower to build up the cattle industry.
it's going to take quite some time. In fact, on the cattle industry, we will probably see the monthly cattle on feed reports reflect smaller placements than the previous year for the next 12 to 18 months. So as we try to rebuild and hold heifers back to rebuild the cow herd, it's going to take quite some time. On the hogs, they're very well positioned to take advantage of that, except for the PED virus. That's a significant concern. We did get the conditional approval of the first vaccine for use as a tool in combating PED virus, but it appears that that vaccine is not the silver bullet that we need to eradicate the disease, but simply another tool to use to try to battle it.
All right. Well, seems like, well, the same old story in the livestock markets, but still a sad one nonetheless.
Absolutely, and the producers are having to pay quite a price to try to battle the problems of the PED virus. Probably the good news here is for the cow-calf man, with feeder cattle prices above $200, corn prices coming down. That's not good for the crop producer, but it certainly is good for demand for the limited supply of feeder cattle, and very profitable times for the cow-calf man.
Right, it's a good time to have a few beef cattle out there.
Absolutely.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. When it comes to hay production, May and June flipped this year. Grass got off to a slow start this spring because of cool temperatures in April and May. University of Missouri Extension Forage Specialist Robert Kallenbach says conditions changed in June that jump-started cool season grass growth, so grass is catching up in a hurry.
Typically in May, we would expect to grow 75 or 80 pounds of forage per acre per day from cool season grasses. This year, it was about half that. In June, we would expect to grow more like 50 pounds of grass per acre per day or thereabouts, and this year we're growing in some cases over 100 an acre a day for the last couple of weeks.
Producers who did cut hay earlier this season are reaping the rewards of regrowth.
They've gotten kind of the best of both worlds here, some good quality hay made very early in the season, and the regrowth that they're experiencing right now is all leaf or vegetative growth, be high in quality, great for grazing and or for a later hay harvest. Those who haven't got hay made to this point may be growing more grass than we typically would in June, but that said, the quality of that forage is not what it could be.
Because of the variability in hay quality this year, Kallenbach says forage testing is a good idea.
We sort of wind up haymaking later this summer and into early autumn. There'd be a real difference in quality of hay made this year depending on when it was made and under what conditions. If there was every year where forage testing would make some sense, this would be one of them.
That's University of Missouri Extension Forage Specialist Robert Kallenbach. For a look at some of the crop conditions and trends in the area, I spoke with Earl Sorrells of Sorrells Elevator.
Yes, this year proves that it takes water to make grain. We've had ample rain in the area, not overly a large amount of rain in this area. It's rained so spotty, but the crops have never seen look better. And the thick stands of corn, you wonder if there's ever going to be a better year for this 35 to 40,000 population in this corn, these corn fields, and hopefully it'll have the good rough stalk, the sturdy stalk that'll stand the rain and the heavy winds we might get yet before it ever matures.
And there are some concerns with the wheat crop that although it's been great growing conditions for corn and soybeans, it's been a bit too wet for wheat. And I've heard in some areas and in other states where they're able to start harvesting that the elevators have been turning wheat away because it has toxins in it. Have you seen anyone able to get out in their wheat fields yet, or do you have any projections on how you think the wheat crop around here is doing?
No, Angela, I can't answer your question about how it's doing here because we haven't tested any wheat yet. But I thought, in my own observation, that it never looked better unless the disease hits it. But this rain will hurt the test weight. When the wheat becomes ripe and then you get all this rain, the test weight will get lower and lower on the wheat. That's what I'm afraid of. If we don't get it harvested here in the next near future, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, why it can hurt for test weight.
Now, over the years, in your experience, do you think that farmers in the area seem to be growing more wheat and doing more double cropping or less wheat?
Less wheat seems as though, but this year there are a few farmers around the Raymond area that are planted wheat that never did plant it before, but they've decided that double cropping is profitable, and then want to change the ground and maybe get some straw to be used for other sources. So there's more wheat around here than normally, even though we don't have any on our farm.
It seems to be that a lot of people are trying out different things in recent years just to see what works on their fields, and an example of that is cover crops. Have you seen a lot more cover crops over the years going into fields around here, or do you think that trend has really picked up here yet?
It's spotty. I know three fellows that planted radishes, and I haven't heard any results from that yet. Only what you read about those that have tried it several years ago. We had 160 acres, my son-in-law did it. He planted radishes on it, and so it'll take a year or two to really find out how much benefit it has. I'd say that there's more benefit on rolling land that erodes than there is on this level land, because the erosion's bad on a lot of this hilly ground with no cover crop on it. So it's a benefit to it.
All right, so basically just depends on the kind of ground you have. And, you know, we've been talking about all of these factors when it comes to farming, the weather, the type of ground you have. And it just goes to show that farmers really have to be kind of a sturdy type of folk to be able to handle all of the challenges that they face.
Well, it's appreciative to me to compare notes with other people in here. It's interesting how different people think different things about double cropping and growing corn or growing soybeans. So I get a lot of discussion, I guess you'd say, on a lot of these different practices, and it's so much different down through the years for me. I've been in it many, many years, and it's just hard to believe how much I notice. What I notice the most is how much better the ground tills now. There's more humus in it from less tillage. When you work it in the spring, and it just is more mellow and breaks up, and you don't have the clods we used to have when we didn't have the organic matter that we preserved in this ground. So farmers are doing a much better job than they used to. So I appreciate that, because that's one of the things we need to leave this land in better shape than when we got it.
Again, that was Earl Sorrells. The Macoupin County Fair will be holding their 12th annual Junior Livestock Auction this evening. Some youth participating in the auction selling barrows are Delaney Heeman, Kayla Thompson, Mallory Heeman, Nicholas Spencer, Drew Staten, Mackenzie Frankford, Samuel Weiss, Damon Staten, Parker Fikes, Tyler Corton, Rylan Frankford, Sam Corton, Nathan Thompson, Faith Odell, Hayden Thompson, Sarah Weiss, Emily Barr, and Logan Connors. Again, those youth are going to be selling barrows at the 12th annual Junior Livestock Auction at the Macoupin County Fairgrounds this evening. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.